We all enjoy weddings, don't we? All enjoy going to weddings. And I've got the situation that I've got to speak about a wedding. And it's the wedding at Cana. So, we're going to speak about this wedding where Jesus turned water into wine. About a fortnight ago, I had a with Rosalie when I heard that we were having communion. I did. And I said that I wanted her to fill all the cups up with water. And then we were going to get Richard to pray for them. No pressure, Richard. The look on Rosalie's face but you know, in a way, we've failed to be gobsmacked by God, haven't we? We've failed, you know. The immediate reaction is, oh, I couldn't do that. Don't put me on the spot. And yet, we're going to read a story where Jesus was put on the spot. And worst of all, it was done by his mum. So let's read from John chapter 2, and we're reading the first 12 verses. On the third day, there was a wedding at Cana in Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Jesus also was invited to the wedding with his disciples. When the wine ran out, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." And Jesus said to her, "Woman, what does this have to do with me? My hour has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." Now there were 6 stone water jars there for the Jewish rites of purification, each holding 20 or 30 gallons. Jesus said to the servants, "Fill the jars with water," and they filled them to the brim. And he said to them, "Now draw some out and take to the master of the feast." So they took it. When the master of the feast tasted the water, now become wine, and did not know where it had come from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew, the master of the feast called the bridegroom and said to him, "Everyone serves the good wine first, and when the people have drunk freely, then the poor wine. But you have kept the good wine until now." This, the first of his signs, Jesus did at Cana in Galilee, and manifested his glory, and his disciples believed in him. After this, he went down to Capernaum with his mother and his brothers and his disciples, and they stayed there for a few days. What a cracking yarn. I mean, for John, he'd just become a disciple of Jesus. You know, I bet this blew his socks off. If they wore them, I don't know. I want to first of all go through the account with you together, and then secondly, look at how we could apply it to our lives today. So let's look at this wedding at Cana. Firstly, it was the third day. That is the third day of his departure from Judea. You remember he'd met Nathanael and Andrew, and then he got plans to go back to Galilee. So he travelled part of that day, the next day, and into the third day to get back to Galilee. And Jesus had set off with his new disciples. He got Andrew and he got John, although John doesn't say that he was the other disciple of the first two that went to follow Jesus. And there were Simon and Philip and Nathanael. And they made this journey with him back to Galilee. Perhaps they were going back to Nazareth, to his home. Perhaps he knew he'd got to get back for a wedding because he said, I must go to Galilee. Perhaps when he got back, he got a message from Mum saying, get to Cana, we've got a wedding. Well, they certainly didn't know that they were going to have at least 5 extra guests. There was no way Jesus could sort of pick up his mobile and say, Mum, we've got 5 extra guests for dinner. And they travel back and get to Nazareth, and they've got to go down to Cana. Cana was only about 8 miles from Nazareth, so, you know, 3 hours walk. It's interesting that Mary was able to talk with a commanding voice to the servants, and it makes me think, well, perhaps this was a relative or somebody they knew, or, you know, because she seemed to have authority in the household. And it could have been somebody related to the family. And a wedding like that, well, I mean, we don't know whether it was a rich person or a poor person. Rich person's weddings went on for 5 days or even a week. A poor person's wedding, perhaps 1 or 2 days. But like most weddings, there is a point of panic. Not everything goes right at weddings, does it? I can remember at my daughter's wedding, right? They were serving the soup, and one of the waitresses had a mishap, and one of the guests was covered in soup. You know, you say, ah! And here, the problem was that the mother to Jesus had said, they have no wine. Well, I wouldn't particularly worry about that, but for a family at a wedding to run out of wine was a disgrace. They'd let the family down, they'd let the friends down, they'd let everybody down. And Mary comes to say, to talk to Jesus about it. Why she went to Jesus, I don't know. What did she expect him to do? Other than, it's your fault you brought 5 extra guests. You know, we hadn't planned on them. And Jesus' reply seems a bit harsh by our Western standards, doesn't it? He seems to be a bit offhand with his mum. But in fact, when he says, woman, what does this have to do with me? In Eastern terms, in Arabic terms, a woman was a term of respect. Right? He respected what his mother was saying. But the rest meant the discussion's ended. You don't have to tell me anymore. I know what the problem is. Do it. So his mother tells the servants, do whatever he tells you. I wonder if they wondered, well, perhaps he's got a bankroll, you know, and he'll send us out for some more wine from somewhere. And then we read about these 6 stone jars used for purification. Well, they'd be full of water. And when the guests arrived, they'd have their hands washed and their feet washed by the servants. So the servants knew what they were for. And they knew that they'd use all the water, washing all the dirt and grime off all the guests so that they would be nice for the wedding. And it says that they were 20 to 30 gallons. Sometimes my mind works in tortured ways. I said, well, okay, let's say 25 gallons. So there's 6 of them. So that's 150 gallons. I've got a bucket that has 2 gallons of water in it. Now that gives me 75 buckets of water. There's no tap. So it's out to the well, take the bucket, lower it down, bring the bucket up, cross to the stone jar, fill it up 75 times. Because it tells us they were full to the brim. We just take it for granted sometimes when we read things, don't we? 6 stone jars, and the servants filled them up. It was hard work filling them jars up. They had to graft. But that wasn't the worst. Having worked up a sweat over that, it tells them to take some out and take it to the... But I wonder at what point it turned into wine. You can imagine the servant, can't you? What's it look like to you? Looks like water to me. I wonder if it was in the jars, in the containers, or when it actually got to the master of the feast. I wonder if God held them in suspense right to the last moment. God sometimes does that, doesn't he? Holds us in suspense right to the last moment. You can imagine the conversation amongst the servants. Take some water and take it to the master. After you. No, you do it. I'm worn out by all that water carrying. You have a go. But the end result was great, wasn't it? Whew. Right? The best wine in the house. John adds that it was his first of his signs. A sign done as an act of kindness to save a family from disgrace. It was unobtrusive. Few people knew about it. Yet he manifested his glory, the glory of his divine mission. The glory of the Messiah, the Son of God, the ruler of the material universe. And the result was, his disciples believed in him. So what's the application? What to do when your pot is empty? Jesus declared his glory by a sign, the water into wine. And Jesus calls us to do signs and wonders. My wife has been bending my ear these last few weeks. I have a tendency to read at night, and my wife has a tendency to read in the morning. So, she's had this book of a certain Smith Wigglesworth. And as she'd been reading it, I've suddenly been woken up and nudged in the morning. Mick, Mick. Listen to this. Now, I've read the book. But it's interesting, some of the things I couldn't remember that she's read about him and what he did. I think that one morning she woke me up and, Mick, Mick. He punched this person. I said, well, I'm not going to practice. Get me into trouble. But we've lost the awe of what God can do. We've lost the awe and expectation that God is able to do healings. Smith Wigglesworth was a man that believed God could do things. He'd pray it and he'd leave it because he believed God was going to do it. And for this one, these empty pots, it signifies there's no wine. And the wine is a sign of joy and God's blessing and the Holy Spirit. So I ask the question, are we running on empty? Are we running on empty? And if we're running on empty, what's the reason for it? Ah, well, if you knew my circumstances, if you knew how tired I was, if you knew my difficulties, oh, well, I don't feel like it. Over my years, I don't say I've heard all the excuses, but I've certainly heard all the reasons why we're running on empty. But don't be disheartened, because I want to tell you two important facts. The first is, I'm a sinner and God hates sinners. The second is, I'm a sinner and God loves sinners. Now, how can we balance that? There's a point at which they meet at the cross. And sometimes our unworthiness clouds our vision. What makes the difference is the cross of Jesus. I want to tell you a story about a man who bought a Rolls Royce. Nice for some. But like all the people who, he had an opportunity to go to the factory and see the one that he wanted, and he went and he chose his Rolls Royce and that. And he said, and what about the maintenance and, you know, all the, what happens if it goes wrong? It does not go wrong, he was told. Well, you know, things might break down. No, Rolls Royces don't break down. Nothing goes wrong. So the man took delivery of his Rolls Royce. And off they go to France for a holiday in the south of France with his roller. And he was driving along. And slowly the Rolls Royce comes to a standstill. On the phone, you got the number, roller. My Rolls Royce has just come to a standstill and won't go. You have got petrol in it? Yes. Right. We will find a hotel to book you into and we will send somebody. Within half a dozen hours, they got a mechanic on a flight, on a plane, chartered a plane, to send the mechanic out to the Rolls Royce. Got there, had a look at it, worked on it, got it working. Great apology, and off he flew, and they continued. When they got back to this country, they phoned up Rolls-Royce and said, you know, what about this breakdown? You know, you sent this man out and all this cost and that. And they said, just a moment, sir. We will look at our records. Then, we have no record of your vehicle breaking down, sir. Rolls Royces do not break down. We have no record. God says, I hate sinners, I love sinners, but because of the cross I have no record of your sin. I have no record of your sin. You see, Jesus is able to bring a transformation in our lives. He's able to change water into wine. He's able to do that even today. If you want a trip out to Cana, it appears that the wine is still coming from the water pots. You can get yourself to the first miracle souvenir and coffee shop where you can get Cana wedding wine. Not only was it a miracle then, but it's been going on for 2,000 years. Didn't tell you that in the Bible, did it? But what I'm saying is, as Jesus changed water into wine, he took nothing and made it something. He took the ordinary and transformed it into the miraculous. Jesus does not intend us to live in a mundane, humdrum existence. He wants to transform our lives. He wants to take the emptiness and the ordinary and not just change it into a mediocre wine, but to change it into the best wine. Wine that is fit for the Master's use. And the key point in this transformation is that we should do what Jesus tells us. The whole of the thing in Cana hinged round whether they would do what Jesus told them. You can imagine that he said, right, fill the water. Well, we've already done that once today. Yeah, not going to get me doing that. Come on, brothers, we're out. Who's he telling us to do that? Mind you, might have got in trouble with Mary. So. But when Jesus transforms us, it might not be easy. It might not be easy. It wasn't easy for those servants to get all that water into those pots. But for the miracle to happen, they had to do it. So, as I was thinking along this, I thought, well, what should we be doing? Should I go and get 6 water pots? And I've got about 8 water butts. As I am, could you imagine? Suddenly went to water the plants and it was wine. All my plants waving about drunkenly. Look at me. But you see, we're amused by that. And yet God wants to transform our lives. He wants us to walk in the miraculous, not in the mundane. He wants us to be people with full water pots, not empty ones. So, listen to him. Listen to Jesus. What should we do? Sometimes we don't. We have our own agenda. I know because I've done it. I've been listening to somebody, but my brain's been elsewhere. And I'm going through the motion. But I'm not listening. And, you know, we can read our Bible. We can listen to the voice. Yeah. And sometimes we're not listening. We're not geared in up there. We need to take time to listen to him. And when we listen, we need to drop our own agenda. Because very often, we have our idea what he's supposed to be about. And unless what we're listening to and feeding into us is what we've got on our agenda, we don't listen. I remember once going on a good listening course. And the first thing that I learned is I had to shut up. I had this habit of people who get halfway through their sentence and then I'd interrupt them. Because suddenly my brain's off on something else that I want to make sure they know what I'm thinking and everything else. So let's not interrupt Jesus when he's speaking to us. Secondly, I spelt it right, meditate, yes. I thought I got mediate then. Meditate and pray. When he speaks, think upon it. Ponder upon it. Right? Think, you know, because you're only human. You can get it wrong. My wife tells me that I'm going deaf. And partly she's right. The one is packing up a bit. And sometimes we don't get the message straight, do we? And we need to listen and meditate and pray. Thirdly, seek advice and help. You know, you're not the master of everything. You need to discuss it with people if you feel God, Jesus is speaking to you. Be open to change. If you're going to transform us, he's going to change us. He's going to change our mindset, what we think, what we do. He might change our direction, our circumstances. Might be even our lifestyle. But in all things, he orders our steps. He orders our steps. And finally, do what he tells. Do what he tells you. I like that. Because she didn't say, listen to him. She didn't say, he might have something to say to you. The thing was, they had to do what he told them. And that tells me about putting into action what Jesus tells us to do. Putting it into effect. Making it right. I wonder if today you feel that you've got a water pot that's empty and you just need refilling. I wonder if today you need a change in direction. I'm going to pray and then we're going to have a song, and during that song, if you felt challenged that today you need a touch from him, you need your water turned into wine, you need your ordinary changed into something that's significant and dramatic, if today you feel it's the time that I started being gobsmacked by God, right, then come forward for prayer. There are ministry team who will pray for you. And let's be touched by God. Let's not be people with empty water pots, but people who are full of the Holy Spirit. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I just thank you that you were able to take the in a way, an ordinary wedding, and turn it through your Son into a miraculous sign, a sign of his glory. It was only an ordinary event, and yet your Son's presence turned it into a miracle. Heavenly Father, we declare to you that we are just ordinary people, but with your Holy Spirit we believe that you can turn us into signs and miracles and people who love you and serve you. As we sing this final hymn now, we just ask Heavenly Father that you would just continue to speak to us and touch us by your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name. Amen.